Glad to see you out in the house of the Lord here this morning. Who would like to go forth, share a praise or a prayer request from this past week? All right, okay, Jan starts us off. Okay. Okay, wow. Okay.
And so they didn't need that big building any longer. And they switched both sides, ended up with a lot of cash left so that they could expand or however, whatever they needed to do.
Okay.
And so I think Mrs. said today was going to be their first Sunday in the new building.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good, to get that update on the church there that had the fire and burn. And so that's all. Okay. I know, that's really sad. It really is sad. So. But glad that they were able to, a church swap. You don't hear that very often, so. Okay, interesting. Wow. Good. Thanks for sharing that. All right, who else would like to share? Praise or prayer request? Yes, Joyce? All right, we'll pray for Charlotte. Not feeling well today. God will meet her. Okay. Oh. So, pray that there's not something more to that. So, yes, sir. Bring. Okay. All right, let's pray for Hadassah with the fever. So, pray that God will meet her and touch her. I don't want to share. I don't want to steal anyone else's praise, but they had a lady trust the Lord as their Savior in jail on Thursday, so that was really neat. Her name is Megan, so there'll be an opportunity of follow up with her this afternoon. So be in prayer for jail and the Bronx. Rachel, okay. All right. Yes, Jim. Oh, boy. Okay, so probably picked it up at the rehab facility. Okay, so so praying for traveling mercies for Charles and Jenny and all the families. They go over to Missouri, and then praying for Jenny's aunt who has got COVID and recovering from shoulder surgery. So keep those needs before the Lord. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Tom. Okay. All right. So we'll pray for Tom. Needs prayer for maybe a heart situation there. So pray the Lord meet that need. So. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Gary. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Carrie, praising God for some timely verses of Scripture that have caused her eyes to look up, even in the midst of difficulty. We're going to be talking about that tonight. 1 Peter, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season you're in heaviness. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. So, looking forward to studying that verse. Anyway, just dear, precious verses in 1 Peter, so I hope you'll be able to be there tonight. So, yes, Joyce?
Recently, I was
Sure. Amen. Amen. Very good. Great tonic there. All the things, count your many blessings, as the song says. And it will, how's it go? Angels will attend. they will help and watch and observe that God wants us to praise Him in the midst of our difficulty. It really is. And He gives us the grace to do that. And really is a marvelous miracle of the Christian life. So, very good. I'll just switch the messages. We'll preach the First Peter this morning and save Deuteronomy till. I'm more excited. I don't know. I'm more excited about tonight than I am this morning. But it's kind of a weird feeling. So, yes. Okay.
Things will be able to figure it out. And we have to translate. I can translate from English to German, and then he has to translate from German to Spanish. You know, it's a little bit complicated. And so he's going to both be figured out, and then let it work on our savings.
Okay. All right. So we'll pray for Elsa and their family as they're trying to get this business transaction taking place through multiple languages.
I'm
so
very grateful for
that's neat. We're thankful for it as well. So it's good. All right. Yes, Angela, then.
And then just transitioning from, I think, the point I'm at now, I'm really getting into being out of this stage of life. I was looking for being married, and I was so busy before I got married. I had this job, and I had that job, and I had this thing I was doing, and that thing I was doing, all of this, and now I'm not, I guess, restaurant fresh everywhere. It's more like that home stuff. I'm just thankful for gosh, he keeps encouraging me.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that testimony, and I'm sure that you're not the only one who's felt those things. So if the lady here has felt those and would like to be an encouragement to Angela, I'm sure that would be a blessing. So exactly why we're here in the body of Christ, to lift each other up. And yes, what you are doing is supremely important. So, all right, I'll pass to your mom here. So, if you okay. All right. All right. So we'll continue to pray for Colette Stein, and that this medicine that she takes will be helpful to her. So it's good. So, very neat. Anyone else to add to these? I've got to show this to Doug here. Doug, you're not the only one that has testimonies to to read. We just got this in the mail from Ryan in the jail. Anyway, I've never had someone request to be a member of our church from jail. That's really neat. And a really neat testimony. Really neat testimony of encouragement. So if you're in the jail ministry, I'd encourage you to come up and read this. Not that someone couldn't, but it just might seem self. He's just very, very appreciative of the work that's being is going on. So you get a little discouraged in that. And if you'd like to join it and be a part of it, really, it's just you can be a part of it as infrequently as you need to. But there are times where we are, in terms of the men who are doing it, we get it covered. And there are times when things come up and you got to, and it would be nice to have others that could step in there and be a part of it as well. So it really is a rewarding ministry. And it seems like the people who get involved don't stop. So it's part of that reality. So. That's correct.
Somebody wants to start with
being a helper. Yes, yeah.
And, you know, that helps to see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you wouldn't be thrown into the fire immediately. So, no. No, it'd be good. So, all right. Anyone else? Yes, all right. So we'll continue to pray for our nation. Yeah, it's a lot of things happening, so pray for God to use it all for His glory. So, yes, Angel? All right, we'll pray for them as they're looking to buy a house and be able to get the necessary approval for that. So God will work that out. All right, if there's no one else, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles at this time, turn to Romans 14, starting in verse 13, and read to the end of the chapter. Anyone need a little bit more time finishing that up? My goal is that these verses will be have an imprint on our lives that will shape our thinking and our actions and the choices that we make. And we know that this passage is written to the weak or the strong. This is written to the strong, because the weak, if they partake of this in which the strong have liberty, they are going to, their conscience is going to be defiled. So the strong have the option here, and he's saying that they need, I think the key concern is found in verse 15, and that is that we should walk charitably. Walk with love toward one another. That's the main concern that needs to be in our hearts. And he says, if we'll see our brethren as those for whom Christ died, their importance will be so much greater to us than our own rights or liberties, as this passage says. Verse 16 says that our liberties are our good. If you are eating meat because Jesus Christ said, don't call anything unclean, that's a good thing. But if you're doing that in such a way that you don't care what anybody else thinks, you don't care what it does to another brother who is struggling and now through your example or through your encouragement is stumbling and their conscience is defiled and they are being cut off from God, he says, your good is now going to be evil spoken of. So you can do good things at the wrong time, the right manner, without the right consideration, and it really can bring a bad name upon the Lord. And he says, we need to understand the essence of the kingdom of God. Where God is ruling, this is what's important. This is what's at stake. And he says, clearly it's not meat and drink. There are issues that surround our lives that are tangential to Christianity. They said that's not the essence of it. That's not the heart of it. He says it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, righteousness, I believe, in this context is talking about meeting our obligations horizontally. This is one of the main words of the entire book, if you remember, righteousness, how you can be justified and right before God. So that there's an element that that's this vertical aspect is of supreme importance. But what he's talking about, there's an aspect to this righteousness that is, how do I meet my obligations to my brethren? You know, what should I do for you, and how do I live my life? Peace is, and probably not talking about peace vertically, though that's important. It's probably talking about, in this context, peace horizontally between believers. And you can push your liberty to a place where it causes strife and conflict. And we're going to look at this element in just a moment. In fact, I want to kind of double down on this element of peace so that we understand how important it truly is. Then joy, I think, is the experience that comes when righteousness and peace, so you're meeting your obligation, the fruit of that is peace amongst one another, and it really does produce in our hearts, just not just my own heart, but the heart of each and as a body of believers, we rejoice. When we're doing what's right towards one another, towards the Lord, we have peace one with another. And it really is such a beautiful, joyful thing. And I believe we've got that in our church. We have the joy of the Lord, and it is a real blessing. And all of these things come by the Holy Spirit. So when you come to the kingdom of God, you cannot experience the kingdom of God apart from the Holy Spirit. There is no kingdom. There is no rulership of God apart from His Spirit ruling in our hearts. And ultimately, in the kingdom of God, when in the future realm, when we're going to be here on the earth, but Jesus Christ is going to be ruling, then in terms of the reason why we refer to it as a different realm is because this whole world is going to be, it's like an epic. It's going to be changed. The old world is going to pass away. There's going to be a regeneration. And everything's going to be made new. And in that, it is all made new by the Holy Spirit. And He exercises, as the King, He will exercise His rulership by the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 says that a stem will come out of the root of Jesse. And he says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And just goes through a sixfold, really sevenfold description of God's Spirit. And then it says, when the Spirit is upon him, then he'll be able to execute justice for the poor. He'll be able to bring judgment upon the wicked, and he will rule the kingdom of God by the Spirit. So it's very important for us, I think, in my mind, to understand how important the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is working, and in terms of people are submitting to the Spirit, that is the kingdom of God. The rulership of God is working through through that member of the Trinity. So Christ is the King. It is the God's kingdom. His Son rules it. His Spirit administers everything and empowers every part of it. That's why we're going to have a spiritual body. We're going to have a spiritual reign. It doesn't mean when I say spiritual, it's intangible. It means that you're going to have a physical body that is suited to the Spirit of God, to the indwelling of Him. Just a really amazing aspect. So I don't want to gloss over that element here of the Holy Ghost here. When we look down here at, I apologize, I'm experiencing some congestion. I hate to make that something you have to listen to. All right, he says in verse 18, he says, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." And so he's referring back to, like, when you do this, when you live conscientious in love, conscientious of your obligations to meet by the power of the Holy Spirit your obligations one to another, and live in peace with one another, and experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life, he says, it is in these things that you are serving Christ. You may be giving up your liberty. You may be saying, no, while the world stands, I will not eat meat. But in this moment, this is the purpose, and it really just kind of helps to galvanize the purpose of why we live. Everything relates to Jesus Christ. Why am I doing? What is the motive? We saw this in chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, right? Whether we live, you live unto the Lord. Whether you die unto the Lord. Everything is the Lord's. And it pulls again this motive that has to be in our hearts, that if you will serve the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I am going to live for His glory, you'll be approved of men. I mean, you'll be approved of God and of men. And that's the element here of this whole point in the early section in chapter of the first section was that we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. He's saying, you live this kind of life of love, of self-sacrifice that cares not for yourself and it cares for other people by God's power. He says, you'll be accepted of God. You'll be approved in that day. You'll stand. And I think there's an element that's, I think there's an element of pointing towards this. This is the only way to be accepted. This is the only way to be approved, is to live for Christ's glory in such a way that when you say, what does that look like? It means you walk charitably. You do not insist upon your own way or your own rights. You live for Christ. And that's going to be beautiful. There's going to be an element that when we live for Christ, and this is kind of a tension in the Scripture, is if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, are men going to revile you? Yes. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. They are going to persecute. Blessed are men when they do this. This is the experience of believers. And at the same time, Peter will talk about how saying that when they behold your good works, which they shall behold, they will glorify God. Not to say, yeah, I know I'm lying. I know I'm not telling the truth. And they really do have to glorify God because your actions really are above reproach. And so there is an element that says, I want to make sure that my actions are, there's no taint of sin. There's no way that they can be misconstrued in that regard. And so, you know, it's kind of a challenge. You don't necessarily live your life within the context of saying, what's the world going to say about it? Because you have to do what's right first. But at the same time, you are mindful that when you live a righteous, peaceful, joyful life, people are going to look at that and say, man, I wish I had that. That's a beautiful thing. That's a good thing. And your life will be approved of men. And so then he says, therefore, here's the conclusion of all the things we're bringing it to. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. We're smack dab in the middle of hunting season. That's the idea of this word follow. You are pursuing. You are hunting. You are engaged. You're going to track it down. He says, make this a diligent effort to find the things. And there's two things, right? You see it in the passage here. First one characterized by peace. The other one is characterized by edification. All right, so we need to kind of examine those things. Probably a good passage to look at is in Ephesians chapter 2. So let's look at a cross-reference here to Ephesians 2. I want us to see that peace really is a fruit of the gospel. And he's going to go on here in verse, let's look at verse 11 here. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So now he has divided everybody into two groups here. You're Gentiles, and you were called this, the uncircumcision. Ooh. And there was an element of, and it wasn't necessarily wrong for them to do that, but there was a stark division by those who had circumcision, but it was really just circumcision in the flesh. They needed circumcision of the heart. That's really what would matter. And there, so it doesn't mean that all the Jews were not. There were many of them that were circumcised in heart, but there were many who were not circumcised of heart and only circumcised in the flesh, and that meant nothing for them. But there was still this division. And he says, ye, you were Gentiles. Let's find out what that means for you. You were without Christ. You didn't have Jesus, the Messiah. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So you weren't a part of the nation. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. God made promises, but they weren't to you. And he says, having no hope. You were destined to eternal destruction without God in the world. So the only way that someone in the Old Testament, a foreigner, could be saved is by looking to God through the sacrificial system, looking to the Messiah and a future hope and faith, just like Abraham believed and David believed and others in the Old Testament and Ruth believed. And others, Gentiles, would become a part of this. But just... So this is the Gentiles were the unbelievers. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, you were away from God's presence, you were cut off from entering into that place, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This middle wall of partition was set up inside the Jewish temple. It had plaques everywhere around it, and they have found through archaeology, so you can know exactly what they read. He says, if you are a Gentile, I'm going to paraphrase it here, do not pass this point. Because if you do, you will forfeit with your life. You basically says you'll have your own blood will be upon your own head. The Gentile, if a Roman soldier, if Nero himself walked past that wall, the Jewish people would take it upon themselves to sacrifice their lives to keep that person out. And so this was how big and important. There was a huge division. You are Gentiles on the outside. We are circumcised of the Jews on the inside. We have a relationship with God. We can draw nigh to His presence. And really, that whole idea in terms of it is set up by God when He built that tabernacle and that temple. There was an element that you cannot go into God's presence. So there's a picture going on here. But we see here, He's saying, He is our peace, who hath made both one. He's talking about both Gentiles and Jews. Now Gentiles are one with Jews, and you who were far off and could not enter into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can enter in now. That's how wonderful it is. So there's peace with God that you can enter into His presence, but now there's peace with Jew and Gentile. This is how fundamental the gospel is in terms of the impact is. It produces peace with warring, divided factions. And He says that He might reconcile both in verse. He's made one new man in verse 15, so making peace at the end of that verse. That He might reconcile, that's bringing to terms of peace, both Jews and Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity that were thereby. And so now the gospel's come and preached to you that were far off and to them that are nigh. Far off means the Gentiles. Them that are nigh are the Jews. And each one, Gentile and Jew, must receive the gospel that is preached unto them. This gospel of peace that is meant to be peace with God, peace with one another. What's beautiful about this is He goes on and says, now you have access, this is temple imagery, by the Spirit unto the Father through Christ. And you are no more strangers and foreigners, like we talked about in verse 12, but fellow citizens with the saints. Who's the saints? They're the holy ones, the ones who have access to the presence of God. That's the Jews. You have access now with those holy ones, and you as well are of the household of God. Another example here of where holiness and household go hand in hand. Holiness is a synonym with sonship in terms of the Scriptures. And He says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So now you have access to God's presence, and you yourselves are the temple of God and are built up into this habitation of God. So what is in this passage? Peace and edification. Edification means building up a building. And so within this passage, you have the impact of the gospel is peace and edification. He says, you and I have got to be about pursuing the things of why Jesus Christ came and the full impact of what His gospel has brought to us. Let me encourage you and persuade you with some verses of Scripture today. Mark chapter 9, verse 50, at the conclusion of a passage of one of the discourses that Jesus was having with His disciples and correcting them, He says, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Mark 9, 50 there. Have salt in yourselves was the image of, He was using the imagery of salt there to say, if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? And so we looked at that when we went through the Gospel of Mark a long time ago, that the salt was the picture, the imagery of that commitment to Jesus Christ that was above everything else. Willingness to sacrifice himself. So it's really in line with everything that he was teaching in that passage. He says, you have to have an absolute commitment to Jesus Christ, without which you are nothing. It's just a shell. He says, have salt in yourself. And you know what the consequence will be when you have that kind of commitment to the Lord? You'll have peace one with another. The way we interact one another is an indicator of our relationship with God. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we're walking by the Spirit of God and our mind is being controlled by the Spirit, it's going to produce life in us. It's not going to be a death experience. We're going to be empowered to life. And that life is going to produce in us peace. Not just internal peace, but peace with one another. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. 2 Corinthians 13:11. He's just giving it's like a little machine gun. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You want to have a relationship with God? He's the God of love, He's the God of peace. So live in peace one with another. Part of the mission of the church is what God is doing us. He says, Ephesians 4, chapter 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is a unity that is we have in the Spirit of God. But you and I are endeavoring to maintain that unity. And how is that? Through the bond of peace. By keeping peace with one another. That's the result of that unity in the Spirit. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Sometimes that idea there is seen that he's talking about an internal thing. In your heart. But he says, in your hearts. That there is an element that says, if I don't have peace with a brother, you know, that should be the peace of God needs to be the umpire. It says, that wasn't right. He's calling balls and strikes. We just got done with baseball season. It's amazing how, you know, baseball players up there, strike, whoo! He's all these animations, and we can do that with the Holy Spirit, can't we? And he's like, he all of a sudden comes through, and you say something, that was absolutely necessary. It was good. It was right. And the Holy Spirit says, strike. And you're like, what? No. Come. You're being sensitive. I mean, come. No, the Holy Spirit's there saying, peace, no peace. Did you create peace? And he will let you know. It'll be a buzzer. He'll be an umpire in your hearts. And it's amongst the body. It says, to which you're also called in one body. This is in context of the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Just a neat little putting together of, hey, we want you to treat your pastor and your leaders right. Oh yeah, by the way, keep the peace. You know what's one of the nicest thing you can do for your pastor? Be peaceable with people, right? Don't cause trouble, but be a peacemaker. Be someone who can go through and resolve things with one another. It's just a beautiful thing. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Oh, this man's just, it's important. The Lord loves it. He is the Lord of peace. Several other passages refer to following peace in 2 Timothy 2:12. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. An important passage that we're going to look at in James. The summary of James chapter 3 is the fruit of righteousness. You want to know where righteousness is? The fruit of it is sown in peace of them that make peace. You say you're filled with knowledge and wisdom from God. If you have bitter envies and strife in your heart, don't glory about that. You really don't have, you don't have the true wisdom, because the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. That helps us understand that ordering is divinely inspired for us. Peace is not peace at all costs. It's purity first. We're not going to someone who's there are people that you know, if they denied the gospel, you know, I think about it in terms of this, it's a tradition. We don't know if it's for true or not 100%, but it's said and reported that John, the Apostle John, when one of the heretics walked into the same building, that he ran out screaming. I mean, it's kind of an interesting story in terms of that. But he was fanatical about the truth when you think about John. And John is the apostle of love, and he's also apostle of truth. And those two, you read 1 John, you find those two going hand in hand. Children, you don't walk in darkness. We don't have peace with darkness. But at the same time, we ought to have peace one with another. And so first pure, then peaceable. And really that becomes a standard by which our character should be measured. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he says, seeing that you look for such things. What's he talking about? He says, because you are looking for the heavens to be dissolved and the earth to pass away and a new heaven and a new earth to come. This great, grand epic, because your heart is longing for that, what should you do? Be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace. When Jesus comes and He finds you, may He find you in relationships in which you have peace one with another. That ought to characterize our lives, and we ought to do. If the Lord brings something up in our hearts and we say, well, and the Holy Spirit says strike, we need to make it right. We need to go to that person. Maybe a humbling thing. There was a man. He was a director of a mission board. And he said, the most challenging thing that missionaries face on the field is getting along with the missionaries that are on the field. That is the number one reason why missionaries come back, is because of conflict and strife. And so they said, sir, in all your experience, why don't you write down all the things that you've observed that have caused conflict among missionaries? Let me read that to you. He said, an unforgiving spirit, self-seeking, a legalistic spirit, playing God for others, lack of patience, a lack of appreciation for others' giftedness, assuming without grounds that they are at fault, failing to make allowances for others, not sympathizing with another's infirmities or limitations, suspecting motives, domineering spirit, rebellious spirit, grumbling, snobbery, arguing, murmuring, being a busybody, greediness, bitterness and resentment, lack of security, instability, timidity, spite, laziness, economic sponging, lying and slander, malice, jealousy, thinking too highly of oneself, carrying on a conversation, being ill-informed about the position of another. Just interesting. He's just going through and listing off these things, and yet this is long gone, is this man and the people, and yet things that we're talking about, we're just human. And these things are still true and issues that we have to deal with today. And so they said, why don't you write down a list of the virtues that you see in missionaries where there's peace? He said, willingness to be in subjection to each other, considering others better than oneself, having an understanding spirit, a sense of an intimate relationship to Jesus Christ. There's an element, there's an idea there in terms of when you are walking close with the Lord, there's an element that sometimes you've got things going on, and the advice that one pastor gave to another says, just be an elephant. He said, an elephant is not distracted by the gnats buzzing at his ear. Just keep going. You know, there's problems, and there's an element that says, if you live in focus on Jesus Christ and you move forward, don't allow the problems or other people to cause you to hurt your spirit and to cause you to come down and to have bitterness and resentment towards the hurts of other people. So be an elephant. Willingness to confess a wrong spirit. Sympathetic spirit with others. Generous. Trusting others. Faith in Christ expressed as trust towards others. That's really good. Element of, I don't have to trust anybody here, but I do get to trust Christ. And I get to trust Christ working in you. And so, therefore, I can trust you because I'm trusting Christ. Gentle and quiet spirit, humility, fair dealing and integrity, love in word and deed, recognizing one's place, doing things decently and in order, conscientiousness, faithfulness, responsible to fulfill the obligations given to us, not misusing our authority over others, willingness to follow those in authority over us. You look through these things, you say, those are things which create peace. To have that kind of spirit and that kind of love and that kind of humility, that's what God wants from us. And He's saying, I just want to encourage to say, this is a big deal. Let us therefore follow. Let's pursue the things which make for peace. And let's pursue the things that are going to build each other up rather than tear each other down. Because each and every single one of the people you look around here in this room, each and every one of them is the work of God. And He's going to go on to say, destroy not the work of God. God's at work. Let's be a part of the building up, not the tearing down. All right. Yeah.
I was thinking it's the same thing.
Yeah.